Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming out. A special morning. This past week, Kenneth Bay has been in Hong Kong. He came here with CSW, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, and they have their annual Thanksgiving service. And so he became the special guest for that service. So that happened last night at Community Church. And so we've been hanging out with him the last few days and just really very moved and compelled by his story. And if some of you guys may or may not know, he's a missionary. He is still with Youth with a Mission. And his 18th trip going into North Korea, he had mistakenly forgotten a hard drive. He's moving from PC to Mac, and so he forgot the hard drive, and so he was detained, and he ended up being in prison for a little bit over 2 years. And his story is just amazing. And the story itself is pretty crazy and amazing, but just to see his faith in the midst of it all was actually so inspiring. And just spending time with him in the morning and having lunch, I was so blessed during that time. And so he had a free Friday morning. And so I asked him, do you mind waking up a little bit earlier? And I know you're busy. And he's literally been speaking nonstop since he's arrived, either in churches or doing newspaper interviews or speaking in little groups, prayer meetings. And so we're really blessed that he really is a servant of God. And so he's going to come. And so morning prayer is a very different format. And so I told Kenneth, you got 40 minutes or so, and however long you want to share, and do that. And then we're just going to spend some time in prayer afterwards, and we'll pray for North Korea, and we'll pray for him as well. And hopefully he'll talk to you a little bit about his ministry that he's embarking in to that end. Okay? So without further ado, let's welcome up Kenneth.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be here this morning. This is the first time I'm actually invited to speak at early morning prayer meeting and by people who speak English. The Korean churches are known for early morning prayer, and they actually do like 5 or 4 or 6. But even meeting in 7, you guys, I mean, all of you have a job and different place to go. But coming out and pray for the city, for the nations, it's just wonderful to see that. My name is Kenneth Bae. I was born in South Korea. And when I was 16, our family moved to the United States. I grew up in California. I went to college in Oregon. And I ended up in seminary in St. Louis. In 2005, I went to Kona, Hawaii, take a school called DTS, Discipleship Training School. And upon completion of the school, our outreach was to China. Our first stop was actually Hong Kong. And so that was the first time, 2005, I visited Hong Kong. And we spent about 10 days here just waiting and spending some time praying and going to see some places. We ended up in the mainland China. Later on, we went to a place called Dandong, which is next to North Korea border. There, we met some North Korean. One person was about 30-some years old. She came to Christ about 3 weeks ago. And so I asked her, so can you give us some prayer requests so we can pray for you? And this is what she said. She said, no, don't pray for me because I got Jesus. Please pray for people in North Korea. They need to know who Jesus is. And then another person was about 50-some years old. He came to Christ about a month ago. So I said, how do you feel now you're a Christian? And then he said, well, I did not have a hope to live my life, but now I have a hope. And so one person is saying, Jesus is hope. The other person is saying, I got Jesus. What else do I need? It was very stunning to hear from people just came out from North Korea to saying those things. Next day, I went on the boat ride by the North Korea North border area. But our team ended up doing it at nighttime. Usually people do it in the daytime. It was a smaller creek. And we ended up in North Korea shore, the little boat landed on the shore. We were told not to get off the boat. As long as you stay on the boat, you're safe. But there's no way we knew that for sure. But we're just, we pray and we decided to get on the boat. We ended up in North Korea shore, waited a little bit, and the North Korean soldier showed up out of nowhere. And then he has, you know, he has a gun, obviously. So I just say, 안녕하세요, you know. And then, you know, we chat a little bit, and then he said, do you have some money, you know, to spare? When someone has a gun and asking for money, you should give the money. But I say, no, we didn't bring any money for you, but do you have some cigarette? And I said, no, but we brought you something. We have some cookies, you know, bread, beef jerky from the U.S., and some apple. And he said, thank you. And then he turned around and went back into darkness. When he turned, this is when I heard the voice of God. And he said, what he needs is not money, not cigarette. He needs Jesus. Jesus is the only way in truth and life. No one can come to the Father except through him. So here I am standing on the boat on the North Korea shore, and I said to Lord, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do, but use me to be a bridge between North Korea and the rest of the world. That was 2005 in November. And 2006, I went back to Kona, Hawaii to staff a school there and brought a team to China. And then after the outreach was done, I told everybody that I'm staying. I'm going to be a long-term worker for China. Does anybody want to stay longer other than 2 month outreach? And people pray, and then about 70% of our team decided to stay longer with me. But the problem was we have no idea what to do next. So we just got together and pray and worship. We did it for about a couple of months and just seeking the Lord for next step. And the Lord spoke to us and say, you know, I'm going to bring people to you. Many short-term teams will be coming through, and you will be hosting team. And so prepare the place where people can stay. And I say, okay, Lord, okay, then that means that I need to get a house or apartment or something. And so, and then that's where people will come and sleep and eat and pray and worship and networking and do many ministry will be taking place in the house. So, you know, even got the name called J House, meaning Jesus House. I say, we got so excited. So we went around and looked around. We went and looking for the apartments and 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom, but it still wasn't big enough for everybody. So finally, I looked at more than 37 homes, and then I asked the Lord, how big do you want, Lord? And then he just said, big. So I asked the realtor, said, can you show us the biggest house in the neighborhood? It was an 8-bedroom, 4-bath, 4-story tall villa. It was a really nice home. And we went to see it, and then we could put about 30-some people in there. We can worship there. We can pray there. It was just an amazing place. So I said, we finally find the place that we got once. And so I asked the owner, how much? And then the owner said, rent, you know, in mainland, you pay yearly, not monthly. And they say you have to pay about 180,000 yuan. Back then it was about $24,000. And at the time, I only had $300 with me. And so I just turned around and asked the Lord, so how much do you want to pay, Lord? Because why did I ask him? Because whose house is this? Jesus' house. Who paid for it? He paid for it. So his will, his bill, you know. So we decided then, so I say, Lord, you want me to find the house? I found the house, so how much are we going to pay? And I felt that he said 150,000, which was about 18,000 US dollars at the time. And then I asked the owner, how about that? And the owner said, no. But we don't have that kind of money, actually. Can I pay you 2 month rent to start with and then pay every 3 months? And then he said, no. So we'll just come back. We came back and we got excited. And the next day we went to that house. We circled around the house. We started walking around and say, thank you, Jesus, for this house. You receive glory from here, Lord. And then third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, and seventh day, owner called the realtor. Realtor called me and say, owner said, it's okay. It's just $150,000. Just pay 2 month rent, which was $3,000. I still only had $300 with me. But 20 minutes later, one of our staff called me and said, our parents are sending $3,000 to us. They're from Canada, not knowing that we got the house. It was just amazing how we moved into the house called J House. And after that, the Lord brought more than 300 people to stay with us for that following year with our amazing ministry and so on. And so our ministry kind of started there. We went to China. Lord said to stay, so we stay. We followed God's instruction. We found the house, and we moved into the house. We were doing ministry like this. year later, then we decided to start our first DTS, first training school. We are excited about it. And then we asked the Lord, is this right timing? Because we have no student coming. We only have one student signed up. We have 3 weeks to go, and then we have to start the school. And God said, yes. Then, Lord, how many students are you sending to us? Because we have no idea where the students are going to come from. And then I felt like God said 18. So we wrote down 18 on the whiteboard, and then I wrote down every single people we knew in China at the time. And then start praying for all those people. We had a big question mark and say, people who do not know will come. We pray and pray for 3 weeks, and 3 weeks later when the school started, and we had 18 students show up. And 13 were Chinese, 4 were South Korean missionary. One person was from North Korea. We have no idea what we're going to do then because is it okay to accept a person from North Korea? And it's okay to do those things? I have no idea. But we had to accept her because she was part of the 18 that God said he will bring to us. And she went through the schooling, and then it was very difficult for her to endure. She never, you know, she'd never been to church. She's been a Christian for about a month. And it was going to school from 8 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. It was a difficult process for her to do. But Lord's grace was sufficient for her. And then she stayed with us for about a year. And after that, she said, I want to go back home and start a private orphanage and Christian orphanage in North Korea. And so there are many street children around in her hometown. I want to feed them. I want to shepherd them. I want to raise them up as Christ loved me. So we send her back in. We pray for her. And by 2010, we decided our ministry moved to a city called Dandong next to North Korea border. From there, our ministry has been growing, so we needed more than just a couple of houses. So we've been praying, ask the Lord to give us a bigger place. And we found this hotel was for lease. Entire hotel, we can put about 200 people in there. We have meeting rooms like this, like a few meeting rooms like this. And it was just an amazing place. It was vacant. It was kind of abandoned. And so I asked the owner, how much is the rent? And it was a 500,000 yuan. It was like, back then, it was like almost 80-some thousand dollars. And then we have a problem here. But the problem was I really did not have money. We didn't have a people to run a place like this as a hotel. We need about 20 or 40, 30 or full-time staff to run this, this kind of big, giant projects like this. So I asked God, is it right timing? God said, yes. Is this then the right place? He said, yes. Then, Lord, how much do you want to pay? So I felt like I said 300,000 yuan. It was 200,000 yuan discount. Obviously, the owner said, no way, you know, get away, go home, you know. So we just got the confirmation from the Lord. Next day, we went back to the hotel. We circled around the hotel. This time, it took about a 15-minute walk around the entire hotel. We did that for 40 days this time. And then the price came down from 500,000 to 3,000. And then our money, actually I only had $100 at the time. So it was $100, and then money grew to about 300,000 yuan. We moved into the place after 40 days. So we called this Back to Jerusalem Training Center. We train over 500 people per year there, right next to the North Korea border. So it was amazing things God has done during that time. But it was more and more, I had a heart for North Korea. We didn't know what to do. We were praying for North Korea. I asked the Lord, open the door for us so that we can go to North Korea. And then the Lord did open the door. And back in 2010, in September, I visited North Korea for the first time, realized that there's possible to bring people as a tourist there. And this was the first opening in that region for allowing the Westerner to come as a tourist. So I asked them, we want to do some different tour. Can we go to school, walk, and then meet the student and have a free conversation, an English conversation with the students, maybe an hour or two. We call it English corner type of work. And apparently they did have English-speaking classes. They're training their kids like that, and they say yes. They never done that before, but they said they'll open the door for us. But I said, how about we go to the mountain, then climb up the mountain, because we want to overlook the city, we want to pray. And they said, yes. Then how about we go to the city market? Usually tourists are now allowed in the city market where everybody's there selling something, and they say yes. How about can we ride a roller skate, you know, with the kids? And they say yes. How about the volleyball? How about we go to swimming with the kids and beach? And yes, yes, yes. Everything yes. I say, okay, this is a clear opening from the Lord. So next day I'm walking around by the hotel, and then suddenly the Lord spoke to me again and said, my people's eyes are blind, they cannot see, they're deaf, they cannot hear, they're mute, they cannot speak, but I will open their eyes, they will see my glory, I will open their ear, they will hear my voice, I'll open their mouth, they'll praise my name once again. So here I am, 2010, and I say, Lord, use me to be the bridge between North Korea and the rest of the world. And Lord reminded me the war of the Jericho. You remember that, you know, like in the Bible, when they entered into the promised land, the first city they encountered was Jericho. And Lord reminded me then how we actually walked around our first jail house 7 days, circled around, and Lord gave us that house. And then a few years later, we walked around the hotel for 40 days. He gave us the hotel just a few months ago. How about we walked around this city called Rasan, about 250,000 people. This is the first city open to the foreigners from the China side, and like first cities crossing the river, Tumen River at the time. Tumen River. And then I said, what if we walk around for about a year? What would happen to the cities? Would God give this city to us? Would that, I was starting getting excited and asked, okay, if that's so, how about we do this? So I asked the people when I went back and say, let's do four things. Let's go and see the land for ourselves and see what the Lord said. Two, let's not only go see it, but to pray and worship and love the people as Christ loved us. And then there are people starting getting excited. How about we find 300 Gideon's army, intercessors, to come to North Korea, or maybe maybe 10 or 15 people at a time, go in for a few days, come back, and we do this for 1 year. So, you know, just go to the mountain, go to the city square, go to the market, go to the school, and just do that. Worship and pray and love the people. And people responded to it. And so we had actually 300 people from 17 different nations, from Africa, Europe, South and Central America, to Asia, to even from Hong Kong, people participated. We all went to North Korea. We just simply did that. And then while we were doing that, we saw many walls being broken, you know, that is coming, you know, went down, and the relations being, you know, restored. The amazing thing we experienced then. But it was part of the spiritual warfare, and then enemy and had counterattacks. So like people get sick out of nowhere, and then we had a flat tire in the middle of the highway, and then we missed the train, and just different. Every single trip was very, very different, difficult to do so. And then one time we went to the not only this city, but we went to the larger city called Cheongjin, ended up in Chilbo Mountain. Very beautiful mountain in North Korea. We went up the top of the mountain, and we're just praying and worshiping. Especially this, I brought about six pastors, white pastors from Ohio, in the United States. And they went up there and prayed. This was the first time since the Korean War that such American pastors are allowed to go up to that mountain and pray. And it was just an amazing experience. We're coming down, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then suddenly driver of the bus fell asleep, and then he just went down to the cliff, and the bus kind of tumbled around and fell into the ditch instead of going over the cliff, and then the bus was total damage. It was, but everybody was okay. We had a few minor, here and there bruises and stuff like that, but it was amazing how we survived from the wreckage. And so the driver was panicking and everything, but everybody say, no, don't worry, we're not going to make any big deal out of this. We are all saved, don't worry about it. And then another bus showed up, and with the driver and doctors and nurses came because a big accident happened. But they didn't bring anything. They didn't bring bandages. They didn't bring any medicine. They just brought themselves, with one of those things to, you know, like, say, you know, what do you call it this? You put it like this? Yeah, they just brought that. I said, why did you bring that? You know, do you want to make sure that our heart is pumped, working? But so next day, we're on the bus, where people are singing. It's good because everybody's singing in English. We're praising God and, among them. And then suddenly, bulldozer came out from nowhere and hit the bus again. So 2 days, that bus was total also. Well, everybody was safe. It's just like this kind of thing happening during those times. And then I led 18 trips out of 23, and completing the 300 people, I ended up arrested because I carrying the portable hard drive as mistakes that contained the Western media footage about North Korea, a documentary about North Korean starving children picking up the noodle from the ground and stuff like that. And they got really upset. Why did you bring such a hostile material to us? I say, it was just a mistake. I didn't even know I have those kind of things in my hard drive. But this hard drive contained more than that. It actually contained all my mission support letters and all the photos and everything that I've been doing for the last 6 years. So, and they wanted to know who I am and everything. And they wanted to know, so who sent you? And I said, God. Who's above you? God. No, beside that, you got to have somebody, else doing this. Because I told them I'm actually a missionary, I'm a pastor, and I have to confess, after about being there for 3 days. But on the third day, they made me to stand in the middle of the room a whole day long, and without moving, do not move, you need to stand until you're ready to tell the truth. I'm standing, for hours, like 5 or 6 hours, but suddenly I realized, wait a minute, my back is not hurting, my leg's not hurting, I'm not sleepy, I'm not tired. It's okay. I think I can do this for about several weeks if I need to. But I was very sick inside. I was panicking, worries, and all these fears and everything. I was blaming myself, and because what have I done? I made a mistake, and now because of me, so many people are in jeopardy. Then suddenly I felt something warm in my hand. I opened my palm slowly. I saw something sparkling like a gold dust. And then my arm was getting warm. And suddenly I felt the Lord spoke to me and say, Holy Spirit is holding your hand. He's standing next to you. Do not fear because I am with you. I will never leave you, never forsake you. Cast all your anxieties upon me because I care for you. When he said this, everything kind of changed. It's almost like scripture come from the psalm and say, if the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? If God say, I'm standing next to you, I'm with you, everything kind of changed. And then suddenly all the worries, all the panicking would start disappearing. The presence of God was so thick in the room, the power of God and the peace of God started coming over. And God said, no one will be harmed through this. Just be strong because I have something to accomplish through this. So I'm just rejoicing in the Lord because I felt just the power and peace of God in the room. So I was just so content. I was, and then I started smiling, I guess. And then they saw me from the camera, I said, I'm smiling. And they say, wait a minute, it's not working. He's smiling. And then one of them came in and said, just go to bed. You don't need to stand anymore. So I didn't have to stand anymore from that moment on. So next day I told them, I'm a missionary, I'm a pastor. And then they said, you got to have something, you got to tell me who is behind all this. He said, you tried to overthrow us. You attempt to overthrow our government. That's what he said. I say, how did I do that? And then he said, through prayer and worship. I said, you don't believe in God. Why do you believe in prayer? You have more faith than most of us do. Which is true because most of Christians, we say, well, what's prayer going to do when, about North Korea? But they say, you mean because I brought people to pray and you are now you're charging me to overthrow the government? And by then they figured out, they found this lady that I sent her back in to start an orphanage. And she actually turned herself in when she came in after a few months and she was pardoned by the government. She was okay. And then, and then she was re-questioned, and she became witness against me in the trial. And then she was able to go home after that. But I didn't know what was going to happen to her. And so I told them, she just wanted to start an orphanage. Why is that a crime against the state overthrowing the government? And this is what they said. If she, you know, one person come to Christ and become believers and then come back and start a Christian orphanage and 10 children will become Christians, 10 will become 100, 100 will become 10,000. When that happens, do you think they're going to be a threat to us or not? And then I said, maybe. And see, what you're trying to infect us with Christian virus into our nations and divide us and conquer us and turn everybody against our government and leader and making this God's nations. When he was saying that, I felt like God was speaking to me at the time. Yes, one person can change the nations. When we pray, the nation can be transformed. And then they said that, since the Korean War, you may be the most serious or dangerous American criminal we have apprehended since the Korean War. Because not only you try to do mission work, you encourage everybody else to become a missionary to North Korea. And then they said, you are facing death penalty or life in prison, whichever. And then I said, but so you better tell us who's behind all this. And then they found that I would work with Youth League Missions. And then also found out that the founder of Youth League Mission, Lauren Cunningham, prayed over me before he sent me to as a missionary. And then they say, above you is Lauren Cunningham. Above Lauren Cunningham is President Obama. And Obama told Lauren to tell you to terrorize our countries. And so therefore you must be CIA agent. I say, excuse me? but they did a thorough search on investigation on my case. I felt like I was putting in the MRI machine. They're checking every single thing about me. After being investigated for about 4 months, they finally concluded that. And then they told me that, we know you are just a missionary. But still, missionaries are a threat to the nations. I was sent to Pyongyang. I was going through the pre-trial period. I ended up receiving 15 years of hard labor. And I was the first American who was sent to the labor camp. And then and when I got to the labor camp, I realized that there were about 30 or 40 people working there. It was for North Korean. Actually, it wasn't for North Korean. It was for foreigners only labor camp. When I got there, I was the only prisoner in camp. So I received a lot of attention from everybody because the first American coming in. And I have to work from 8 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock in the evenings, working in the bean field in the wintertime, shoveling the coal into the furnace and working the coal ash, digging the ground and carrying rock, all kind of hard labor that I have to endure. The suffering was real. But when suffering is real, God's grace is also real as well. So after every morning, I have to put on the full armor of God and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to endure today. Just every day, I was just asking Lord. So I asked them, can I get my Bible back? And actually, this is a Bible actually I brought in as my travel Bible. So I have my Bible with me. So I actually read more Bible in North Korea than any other time in my life. I pray more, I worship more there. I just ask the Lord to cover me, your Lord, with your grace. In the evening, after work, I can't even open my eyes. So tiring, and my back was hurting, my leg was hurting. And then when it's time to go to sleep, they have this kind of light on my face. They want to make sure I'm still there. I said, where can I go anywhere in the cell? But they're watching me through the camera. But that means that room is the only room has a light on, so all the bugs comes in. And remember, so I have to kill about 200 bugs per night before I can go to sleep. And then I have arthritis pains, and my hands were becoming numb and actually really, really hurt. So I have to get up every hour to shake my hand like this for about 20 minutes, and then I fall back to sleep. So it was very, very difficult to endure. But the Lord is continued to say, Kenneth, I am with you. I am with you. On Sunday, they made me actually just rest. But it was resting, was not resting, because they said to sit on my chair, and they turn on the TV from 9 o'clock in the morning until 10:30 at night. So I have to watch 13 hours of TV, but one channel with 80% propaganda about their system and their leader. And I have to watch that every Sunday just to sit there all day long. So I prefer to go out and work than just to sit by the TV all day long. But when you're watching TV for many, many hours, you started to say, wow, these guys are really nice. I mean, oh, they're really wonderful people. Starting to have that kind of effect on you. And then they have like praise song in between the programmings, and then about their leader, and you know, how great their leader is, how wonderful, how lovely, you know. And I'm starting to follow their song. And those things was happening. But I'm sitting there thinking about food, because I was hungry. In prison, obviously, the food wasn't enough. And so I was thinking about Hawaiian chocolate with macadamia nut. And I was thinking about Kit Kat. A third thing was beef jerky. Fourth thing was protein bar. Fifth thing was mixed nut. But where can I find Hawaiian chocolate in prison in North Korea? I thought about it. I just smiled. And then a few months later, I was actually sent to hospital because I lost more than 27 kilos. And I was malnutrition. I was in hospital being treated there for a couple of months. And my mom came to visit me. It was a very emotional reunion. Imagine mom coming to see son in North Korea prison and in a hospital. And the next day she came back and said, I brought something from the state. She opened her bag, and the first thing she took out was Hawaiian chocolate with a macadamia nut. The second thing was Kit Kat. Third thing was beef jerky. Fourth thing was protein bar. Fifth thing was mixed nut. It's really nut. It was, because I didn't pray. I didn't write to her. I didn't call her. I just thought about it. I just smiled. The Lord, remember me. And the Lord said, remember, you know, I am with you. I even know the craving of your stomach. Because I made you. Because know that I'm the God. But I realized I wasn't going home anytime soon. And I was wondering, Lord, do you want me to stay here, Lord? Is that what your desire is? I finally, after about 3 weeks pondering, I prayed this prayer. Lord, you know my heart. I want to go home. But not my will, but your will be done. And I give up my right to go home. Use me, Lord. And then, Lord spoke to me and said, do you love me, Kenneth, more than these? When he said that these include your family, your wife, your kids, your parents, your ministry, everything you've been working for, do you love me more than these? And I said, yes. Then feed my lamb, take care of my sheep. And there are more than 30 or 40 people around me. I thought they were there to just oppress me. He said, these are the lost sheep that I have sent you. He said, you are not here as my prisoner. You are, as a prisoner, you are here as my son, my missionary. And I asked God, I need help from you. I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. And then one by one, God opened the door. When nobody's around, they usually call me prisoner 103. When no one's around, and one by one, they come to me and say, Pastor, can I talk to you? And then they'll start talking about their family issues and marriage issues and, you know, the parenting. So I'm starting doing marriage counseling and premarital counseling and parenting. And even North Korea, yeah, they do have a marriage problem there. You know, so we talk about all those things and realize that I started to become their pastor or shepherd or friends. And then one of the guard asked me, Pastor, if I believe in God like you, do I get something out of it? What's the benefit? And I say, sure, I mean, there's benefit. I talk about how God provided our J-house, our hotel, and all kinds of things. And they say, wow, because you know, it's good because you pray and God give it to you. In our government, told us to take care of ourselves. They don't give me anything. And then another guard said, Pastor, if I believe in God like you, what do I have to pay to your church? And I say, so talking about financial commitments. I say, yeah, there's offering, but you need to give yourself to God. And after being there for 2 years, finally one guard told me, you know, you say God is real, then how come you're still here? No one stayed this long before. You've been going back and forth hospital 3 times. You're still here. How do you explain that? And I said, maybe God has a different plan. The plan may include you. Without me, how are you going to hear about God or anything from outside? And he said, it's true. I never heard anything like this before in my life. When I was questioning in Rajin and Wasan, and then one of the investigators asked me this question. I heard about the name of God before, never heard about Jesus before. So tell me, where does Jesus live, in China or in old Korea? And he was serious. He was born in Pyongyang. He went to college in Pyongyang. He never heard the name of Jesus before. How can it possible in prosperous East Asia that is possible? Pyongyang used to be known as Jerusalem in the Far East. How it was prosperous. How there are more churches in Pyongyang 100 years ago than any other city in Asia. But now the name of Jesus was gone, disappears. That's tragedy. Lord reminded me one of the illustrations that I learned when I was back in the seminary days. This is about the missionary was sent from U.S. to India, working among the minority tribe, and the language was very difficult to learn. So he couldn't just pick up the language, so he couldn't preach the gospel. He was there for 5, 6, 7, and 10 years, still could not, to share the gospel with people. And then the church was frustrated and said, just come back. And then they sent somebody else in his place. After being there for only 3 years, this guy was very talented and gifted in language. And he said, I'm ready to speak the gospel to the people. So he got everybody together. He preached and they said, who wants to believe in Jesus? And then everybody raised their hand. And then I probably made a mistake here. So he decided to preach again, and then he said, who really want to believe in Jesus? And everybody raised their hand. So he got frustrated and said, do you really know who Jesus is? And then the village chief raised his hand and said, Jesus was with us for 10 years. So he reminded me that illustration when I was in North Korean prison. They never heard about the name of Jesus before. If I leave, they will never have an opportunity to hear about him. But I may be the only Jesus they ever see. I need to become the little Jesus to him. How am I supposed to do that? I cannot preach the gospel to them, because when I do that, if someone says, yes, I will believe in God, and then that person will be taken away, their kids will be taken away, the parents will be taken away, 3 generations will be wiped out. How am I supposed to do this? But I say, I may have to become the little Jesus to them as God called me to be. I'm a pastor, missionary, living among them. So I asked God, Lord, help me to live today, reflecting your glory, be like you, Jesus, Lord. I love this, your slogan here, to know him, be like him, and make it known. It was a difficult process. I asked the Lord to help me. I was there for a year and a half or so. And then I heard the U.S. envoy is coming to get me home in 2 days. I got excited. Finally, I'm going home. I shook my hand to everybody. Said, thank you, everybody. I'm going home. And then I even sang a song, farewell song in Korean. Farewell, I'll see you again next time. And they said, don't sing such a sad song. We like you here. You should stay here longer. We want to talk to you more. I said, sooner I go, sooner I come back. Of course, next time, not as a prisoner, hopefully. But 2 days later, U.S. envoy could not come. It was devastating. So I realized that giving up the right to go home was not something to do one time. I had to do it daily. I knew, and I was given about 6 months or more because the military exercise would be happening. So I was just asked the Lord, how am I supposed to live next 6 months in my life among these people. At nighttime, I often sang because the usual electricity doesn't work, but they make me sit in the chair in darkness for 2 or 3 hours before I can go to sleep. I was tired, but only thing I can do is just sit there, start singing. Like, there's none like you, I love you, Lord, in moments like this. And their song in the hymn is said, whatever Jesus is, if Jesus is with me, he walked with me, this is where heaven is. There's a song like this. I'm just singing. Even in the palace, even in the shack, whatever Jesus walked with me, this is where heaven is. And then they're starting to listen to this kind of song. It's like, wait a minute, this guy's in prison. He has no hope to going home. Why are you singing like this? And then one by one, and they say, you are a very strange prisoner. We've never seen any prisoner like you before. So we are the guard, you are the prisoner. How come you look happier than us? Where does your joy or hope come from? I say, come from God. When I left, warden of the prison shook my hand and said one word, see you again. And I saw tears in his eyes. So I felt so grateful for what God has done in that prison at the time. November 3rd was a 2-year anniversary in 2014. And November 1st, prosecutor came to me and told me, you're not going home. You have 13 more years to go. We will celebrate your 60th birthday together. He left. No one remembered you. He does that every week for 1 year. So I nicknamed him Mr. Disappointment. Every time he comes in, disappointing news. So I have to choose. Am I going to listen to him or listen to God and God's people and through the scriptures? And November 3rd, Monday morning, I woke up. The Lord said, open your Bible to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 20. I have no idea what that was. I opened it, and in NIV translation, it said, I will bring you home. That was a Monday. Friday, U.S. envoy came. Saturday, I came home. On the way home, I told this story, and they were so surprised. We left Washington, D.C., November 3rd, Monday morning. God spoke to me. God sent the U.S. plane over. With more than 20 people came to get me home. So I told everybody that even President Obama knows my name now. But more importantly, our Heavenly Father knows my name. Same Heavenly Father knows your name. And he said, cast all your anxieties upon me because I care for you. I'm with you. I never leave you, never forsake you. You are mine. You are my people. I came home. The Lord reminded me that people have not forgotten you. They remember you. They pray for you. And I remember you. I have not forgotten you. And also I have not forgotten the people in North Korea either. So go and tell people how you came home when people pray, remembered you. Go and tell people to stand with the people in North Korea, remember them, pray for them, be a blessing to them, so that God will release them and they will come to have a freedom when we, as body of Christ, to pray and remember together. I came home, so many people recognized me in the street, and they came to me and said, Kenneth, welcome home, we've been praying for you. I received more than 450 letters saying that is, Kenneth, you are not forgotten, we are standing together with you. What if when North Korea opened up, unification took place, when you see a brother or sister in North Korea together, and you can say, brother and sister, we've been praying for you, we've been remembering you. Do you think that God will be glad that you were able to do that? I came home and I told my mom, I cannot look the other way and move on because I have seen their suffering. God said, I have seen their suffering. I heard their cry. I will restore my people. So I said that I want to go and continue to help be a bridge to the people in North Korea. And it turned out there's more than 30,000 refugees living in South Korea. About 100,000 or so are in North Korea, in China and elsewhere. I just want to be a bridge to them and help them and stand with them so that when the unification comes, we're going to all walk in together and just rebuild and restore the people's life together. So I just moved to South Korea about a month ago, and the Lord is leading me this step of the way. And I'm just seeing this, God's, if it's God's will, you know, and I told you it's God's will, But more than that, in God's will, if you follow and embrace it, God always multiply. God always do the work. I learned in the midst of suffering to continue to look straight or fix our eye upon the Lord. I learned to trust the Lord in all time. I learned to love the Lord despite of the suffering. Also learned to obey the Lord in the midst of suffering. So I asked you, is Jesus worth living for? Yes, he is worth even going to prison for. I have seen nothing better. One day in his court is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. I've seen the people's life over there. I really don't want to be with the Lord Jesus for 1 day. I just want you to, Israel, just call for Joshua to his people. And people respond to that. Whatever you say, we will do. Wherever you want us to go, we will go. So I just want to encourage you guys, because of your prayer, I'm standing here in front of you, testifying our God is good, he's great, he's better than us, he's bigger than us, but his heart is remembering, his aching heart, is people who are often being forgotten like people in North Korea. So stand with them, pray for them, and cast your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you as well. And he will use you to become a blessing to the nation. May the Lord bless you. Amen.
Amen. That was awesome. So good. Why don't we stand right now, and Pastor Ricky is going to lead us in a song, and then let's pray. Let's pray as our brother encouraged us to. Let's pray for North Korea. Let's pray that God would continue to breathe life there. There is another pastor in prison there right now, Pastor Lim, who's actually from Canada, from Toronto. And so almost after Kenneth came out, he went in. And so let's pray for him as well. Let's pray that he would continue to be that witness there in that prison, just as Kenneth was. And so he's just going to lead us in a song. And after that, I'll just come back up and just lead us in a short time of prayer. And I know some of you guys have to go to work, and so you are... you can leave whenever you need to leave. Well, Sam, what are you doing after this? You have some time? You want to get some breakfast? Okay. We'll go get some dim sum. And so if you want to join us, you're more than welcome to do that. Okay? So, Ricky, go ahead.
Live, oh, to be like you.
Let's pray. If you're standing next to someone, would you just grab their hand? You know, there's power when we come and agree together. And in that attitude of agreement, let's pray. Huh? Let's pray for North Korea. Let's pray for Holy Spirit just to continue to breathe life into this land. Let's pray that God would redig the wells. You know, like Kenneth said, it used to be called the Jerusalem of the East. And let's pray that he would pour out his spirit again upon that land. Let's just lift up our voices now. Let's just take this moment. Let's pray for the Christians that are inside the country right now, either doing missions work or North Korean Christians that are in hiding and some that are in labor camps and in prisons. And let's pray that in the same way that God encouraged Kenneth, let's pray that God would encourage them, regardless of what they're doing. If they're North Korean, most likely most of them are in some kind of prison in some way. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would encourage them even now as we pray. Let's lift up our voices. Let's pray for the guards at that camp that had the privilege of encountering Jesus through Kenneth, those 30, 40 guards and the warden. Let's pray that that they would be led to Jesus, that what was started through Kenneth's ministry would manifest in them trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior. So let's just call upon the Lord on their behalf. Let's pray for Pastor Lim, who's now in prison. He's been there for a little bit over, is it a year now, right? Almost 2 years now he's been in. And so let's pray that the Lord would protect him, that God would use him in prison as well. And pray for his family. And I'm sure they're going through a lot of things right now. And let's just pray for God's mercy and grace to be extended to them. And let's lift up. And lastly, let's pray for Pastor Kenneth. Let's pray that God would continue to use him, that he's being a really powerful voice right now. Let's ask God to continue to bless his family. He's relocated now to Korea, and he's starting a new chapter of his life. And if you want to come and just surround him and just lay hands on him, we're so grateful that he's come today and to bless us. And let's just pray for him. Let's pray for his ministry. Let's pray that God would just release all the finances that need to be released for this next chapter of his life and the work of God. Pray for his family. He's got 3 grown children. His wife will be rejoining. And just pray that the path would be very, very smooth. Let's just lift up the man of God, the servant of the Lord. And if you feel like God's giving you a word, you know, just go for it and feel free to share it with him.
Father, we thank you that you have blessed us with relationship here. Thank you for Kenneth. Thank you for his faithfulness. Thank you for the love of the Lord in his heart. And as he was sharing about being a little Jesus, just reminded us of, reminded me of Isaiah 61. And we just thank you, Lord, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon him. And the Lord has anointed him to preach good tidings to the poor. You sent him to the North Korea to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. And so we thank you, Father, that as a little Jesus, as he's abiding in you, Jesus, that you sent him there. And with this message, we pray for him that you would continue this work in his life. And we pray, Father, that you would use Kenneth in your work of revival in Korea in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for this nation. We ask that you would rebuild the old ruins, that you would raise up the former desolations. We pray that you would repair the ruined cities. And we pray that you would repair the desolations of many generations. And Father, we ask that you would raise North Korea up as a city on a hill, that you'd raise it up as Jerusalem of the East, redeem it for your purposes. And Father, as you sent Kenneth in as a servant of Jesus, we pray that you would use him to send North Koreans out as servants of Jesus to the rest of the world. Father, raise up missionaries that can be like him and can be like Pastor Lim from North Korea to go to the rest of the world and use him in that work. Father, we pray that you would bless him in Jesus' name. Bless Pastor Lim in the name of Jesus. And as a symbol of the rest of the believers that are in prison, hundreds of thousands of believers in prison in North Korea today. Father, bless these prisoners in Jesus' name. Comfort them. Bless them with food. Comfort those who mourn. Comfort those who mourn in Jerusalem of the East in Jesus' name.
I just sense the Lord trying to say, wanting to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come partake in your master's joy. I get a sense that because you've partaken in sacrifice, that you've partaken in his great work, that he's brought you into this new intimacy, that there's this new profound joy that you can partake in that so many others don't have the opportunity to partake in. I get a sense that your time in North Korea is just the beginning, that the Lord is laying the groundwork for you, that that is taking that momentum for you going forward, that in that new intimacy that he's taking you to new places, Lord. So, Father God, I just pray your anointing above Pastor Bae, Lord. Just pray for your favor to be on him, Lord God. Just pray for that relationship to just get deeper and deeper, Lord God, that his time spent with you, Lord God, in that prison, Lord God, is just this unique time of intimacy with you, Lord. And now he can just be able to claim, Lord God, that he has a place beside you, Lord, that closest, Lord, that he shares with you, that joy that he's able to share in your work, Lord God. So, Father God, I just pray that you would refresh him each day, Lord God, that you would just bless his ministry, Lord God. We just pray for logistics to really just fall in place, Lord God. It's your will, Lord God. It's your bill, Lord. And it's your way to, it's your will to be done, Lord God, in his life. So, Father God, just cover him in the blood of Jesus, Lord. Father God, I would just pray for your anointing each and every single day, Lord God. Just lead him, Lord God, each and every single step of the way. Father God, we thank you in this place, Lord.
Lord, thank you. God, thank you for his story, God. Lord, thank you for his life, and thank you that it's such an incredible testimony for each of us, God, that we may not go to prison, Lord, but we will endure hardship in your name. And when it comes, God, that we can have confidence that your grace is sufficient for us, as it was sufficient for Kenneth, God. And so I pray that whatever trial, God, that we enter in, Lord, in your name's sake, that we would be faithful, God, faithful unto death. And so we ask you to continue to bless Kenneth's ministry, Lord, the next steps. God, we pray for his body, his health. We pray that there's no any residue, God, from his time in prison, God, over his arthritis and anything else that pertains to his health, God, from all the weight loss and weight gain. But we just pray that he would come into perfect health, Lord. And so just protect him. Give him everything he needs to succeed, God. Lord, finances, relationships, Lord, friendships, God, wisdom. And we thank you that, Lord, that you place it in his hands. Thank you for the servant of God. Lord. And we, God, as a church, we will remember him, God, and we'll pray for him, Lord, and we'll pray for the people of North Korea, God. We won't forget, Lord. And so thank you, Lord. Bless him, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Moksaim. Thank you. I know some of you guys still want to pray, and so we'll turn the music on. But if you would like to join us for some dim sum, just meet out in the lobby in a little bit of time, and we'll make our way out there, and you can spend a little time fellowshipping, and you can ask Pastor Bay any questions or anything like that, okay? And so, Mary, if you can turn the music on, and you guys are dismissed anytime.